What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? It's Corey Russell.
I'm Billy Humphrey.
And this is Gripped, Awakening the Grown in a Generation for Revival and the Return of the Lord. And this season is about the knowledge of God.
Yep.
And we're in episode 2. And the first one was just literally just, you know, just shaking you a little bit, just cutting you and just saying humility, awareness that we don't know God like we thought we knew him is actually the doorway into knowing him.
It's spiritual poverty. It's spiritual hunger. It's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount.
Absolutely.
You have to have
blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so on this episode, we referenced in the first one about a book by A.W. Tozier called Knowledge of the Holy. And if you want to grow in the knowledge of God, this is where I cut my teeth. And then after this, for a while, I went to a guy called Existence and Attributes of God, Stephen Charnock, and a huge book on the knowledge of God, and I got wrecked. So, but I would say Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozier. But really, there's amazing things in the book that we'll hit on throughout the whole season. But I think it's either the preface or chapter one. He has this title, Why We Must Think Rightly About God.
Yeah.
And he begins to say that the thought that comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you.
Yeah, the most important thing about you is what you think about God.
When I say God, what do you think of? He says, I just want to share some one-liners that have so shaped my pursuit, that so wrecked me. He says a phrase like this. He says, a man or a woman is relieved of 10,000 lesser problems when he or she comes to a right understanding of God.
Yes.
He says phrases like that the importance of what we really believe about God is the same importance to our Christian life as a foundation is to the building.
Yes.
And that if the foundation is skewed or wronged in any way, so the building's going to fall. And so many believers, when you buy into wrong views of God, and in another one of the books, I heard the phrase practical atheism.
Yeah.
Because we're digging deeper into what do you really believe about God? And you'll usually find that in seasons of weakness, shame, difficulty.
Yeah.
That's where all that stuff comes to the surface.
Yeah.
Is what you really believe. Is when everything's going great. Hallelujah. He's the best. You got all the bumper sticker Christianity, but it's in the pressure when the dross of what you secretly believe, because there's so much stuff that's said in the heart. And there is a practical atheism. It's unbelief. We'll say lip service. And I think that's another, when we're talking about the knowledge of God, we are professionals at that because we can say things, we think we believe it.
Yeah.
But they're two different realities.
Yeah, we have a lot of Christian slogans, a lot of words without a lot of anchor and depth.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so that chapter wrecked my life. He talked about the essence of idolatry. He talked about that what you really believe, it won't be just said on Sunday, but it'll be carved out in your life. And that's what we want to talk about, is why is it important to think rightly about God?
You know, I'm thinking about 2020, and so many of us obviously have been through one of the most difficult seasons.
Yes.
That we've experienced in you know, a global pandemic,
yes,
societal unrest with racial tension, financial difficulty,
yes,
right? And I think that one of the key reasons why the Lord has directed us through a 2020 is to expose us.
Wow.
Yeah, to expose totally agree. What we think about God. And I think that you really can do an easy inventory. When everything started shaking this past year, what did you immediately seize and hold on to? What was it that you clamored for? Did you look for some sort of normalcy apart from God? Were you looking for some sort of thing to nourish your soul that was different than latching onto the Lord? What was the thing you were looking for as your anchor? And I saw it on the internet. Some people were latching on to, you know, working out and getting in physical fitness, or some were latching on to food, you know,
yes,
like give me some comfort in those things.
Yes.
And I'm not saying like, okay, food is bad or physical fitness is bad. That's not the point, but it's what did your soul leap for when everything started shaking? Because that tells you where your anchor is.
That's right.
And that's the thing you're saying.
Yeah. And I'm wanting to take the first part of this whole season and just keep digging. Just keep digging, because we got a whole generation of I knows. I know that about God. I believe God wants to wreck you. And then Tozier takes us in, and let's just go there. I mean, Tozier goes into the attributes of God. It's something that you said last in the first episode, but this reality, and I want, you know, some of this is beginning to think new thoughts. One of the most powerful verses in scripture is the very first one. And you're going to come to a powerful revelation. God's there. In the beginning, God. Okay. Now, that's amazing. That's the very first verse of your Bible. And you have to ask yourself a question. If he's there in the beginning, when did he begin? And it's at that moment that Jesus says in John 17, he talked about glory, which I had with you before the world was. Jesus was literally praying to the Father, asking him for the glory that he knew with him before Genesis 1. So you have to jump off the page of Genesis 1 to go on the search of the beginning of God's days. Mm-hmm. And I've done this before. I would encourage you. I remember Corey Asbury, you know, he was one of our interns.
Yeah.
He was in your...
No, he was one after me, but okay. Yeah, he was like right there.
You know, the guy who wrote Reckless Love. He was one of our interns, spent 10 years in Kansas City, loved the guy. And I would always have the one thing interns do this exercise. Mm-hmm. I would always tell them, okay, think of your dad, okay? Think of your grandpa, great-grandpa. Keep going, going, going. I said, we're going to keep going. And I said, you're going to get to Adam. Who's Adam's dad? God. I said, who is God's dad? I go ahead. I got time. I go, you got to jump off the page. Now go on the search of who brought God into existence.
Yeah.
Was it a million years before Genesis 1? A billion years? A trillion years? 999 trillion, 999 bill, 999 mil, 999 thou, 999 years. And you're going to keep going and going and going, and you're going to hit a wall, and the wall is called out of numbers.
Yes.
And when you hit that wall called out of numbers, you've got to look back to Genesis 1 and say to yourself, I'm actually closer to Genesis 1 right now than I am to the beginning.
Yeah.
And I remember I did that with Corey Asbury, and he said that he got saved by doing that exercise. Actually, he literally felt like he got a salvation experience. Now I know all those things, I got saved, but he felt like it was a conversion experience as he began to connect that the bedrock, our God, is from everlasting.
Yes.
He is uncreated, eternal. The Father, the Son, the Spirit have always been.
Yes.
And I don't know why specifically the eternity of God.
The eternity of God.
Is so critical, I believe, to going on the journey into the knowledge of God.
Well, and it's what we talked about last episode, how we tend to make him like us.
Yes.
We make him in our own image, just like the children of Israel. And he's so clear about it in Isaiah 55. He says, my ways are not your ways.
Yes.
My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. And so when we diminish him and we make him like us, it shifts everything about him. It shifts his ability. It shifts he's able to touch in us. Because if we just make him a little taller, a little smarter, he can't dig down into the deep issues of my own soul and work out things that I don't even understand about myself. But if he's from for everlasting, if he knows how, like he says, like Elihu said, or like he says in the end of Job, he says, I'm the one that puts the water in the clouds. I'm the one that puts the spirit in a man. If he's that one, and he's from forever, then his knowledge is perfect.
Yes.
He knows everything about me. He knows what's making me tick right now. He knows what my deepest desire is, and he can answer it all in one half second. He can direct me into the knowledge of his will, and I don't even know that I'm in his plan. He can move things with his left hand that I don't see, and with the strength of the power of his right hand that I do see. He is so able. When we actually put him in the right perspective, we get to see him a little bit as he is. All of a sudden, the possibilities explode of what he's about, what he's doing, what his power is, what his love is like. And I'll say this. You and I, we went to a conference, some of our friends, at Jesus Image Conference.
Oh, man.
The end of 2018?
That's right.
2018, yeah.
That's right.
And we randomly both showed up in Orlando at this conference, and we both were not speaking at the conference, which was just weird. And so we end up hanging out, And we love Michael and Jessica Koulianos, yes. bless them.
Yes.
And love their ministry and their focus on Jesus. But I remember I was there at that conference and we were getting touched. Remember the Lord yes. touched us deeply and Heidi Baker prayed for us and messed us up. But I remember.
What did she say when she was praying for?
Bless these little boys. I remember she was praying for both of us. Bless these little boys. And I'm thinking, oh, I think I popped an eye open.
He goes, hey.
She goes, that's right, Lord. Bless these little boys.
I love it.
And then she said, bless these little men, yeah. which was worse. That was worse than little boys. Yeah. But the Lord was encountering. But and I don't even think I told you this, but at that time, I was wrestling with the Lord over his eternity. I was troubled and offended with the idea of he has no beginning.
Yes.
Because my brain was hitting that blank space that you're talking yes. about. That's the same exact, I didn't know you did that exercise. I do that same exact exercise with people. I go back in your mind 100 years. Go yes. back 1,000.
Yes.
Go back 10,000. Go back 100,000. What was there? And 1,000,000.
Yes.
And at some point you start hitting blank.
Yes.
And as soon as you hit blank, that's the edge of what you're able to conceive.
Yes.
And then he is beyond that. He's beyond that. So I was wrestling with that. I was wrestling. You're from forever. How can you be from forever? I was working this through. And I would challenge you, if the eternity of God offends you, get into that conversation with him and tell him why you're offended with that. And you'll find in there somewhere you want him to be like you. It's the Psalm 50. You thought yes. I was altogether like you. You want him to be just like you. And because if he's like you, you can understand him.
Yes.
And if you can understand him, you can control him.
That's exactly
and he
right.
says, you know what? You cannot control me.
That's exactly
I am not
right.
like you and you cannot understand me. In fact, it takes me for you to understand me.
That's right.
That's called the spirit of revelation. But I was wrestling with it. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me this inner picture and I saw him, but I didn't see him as you know, God, the face of God, I saw him as a canopy of existence. He was everything. He was everything. There was nothing outside of him. Everything is within him. Time is within him. The universe is within him. Air is within him. All existence is within him. And he is this broad canopy that is all in all. And that's where Paul says, at the end, Jesus will hand everything back to the Father when everything comes under Jesus,
yes.
that the Father may be all in all.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, whatever my sense of, I need to know, I need to be beyond you or control you in some way, all of a sudden it started melting underneath the reality that I'm a speck, I'm less than a speck, and he's from forever, and all my days are within him. All my thoughts are within him. All my moments, all my experience is within him. He's everything. He's beyond. He is infinite. And I'm his. I'm created.
This is called loving God with your mind. When you even begin to, our God is uncreated. He has always been. There's never been a time he was not. And there'll never be a time that he is not. Now, God is from everlasting and he's to everlasting. Is that Psalm 90? From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I love Micah chapter 5 when talking about Jesus. He goes, but you, O Bethlehem, though you are smallest among the tribes, yet out of you shall come the ruler whose goings forth
are from everlasting.
He goes, he put him back there. He is the one from everlasting. He is he's the Ancient of Days. Isaiah 57 says he inhabits eternity. He's the one who was, is, and is to come.
The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yes. Before Abraham was, I am. He is the eternal spirit. Holy Spirit is the eternal spirit. He's the one that was brooding over the deep. Jesus, all things were made through Jesus. The Father has plans. Spirit broods. Jesus speaks, and they're from everlasting. Friend, what this does is it delivers you from anxiety.
Yeah.
I believe there's a deliverance in this from anxiety,
yes.
from fear, from worry, from the weights and the pressures, the opinions, the praise and the rejection of men. Because once you begin to get launched into, my goodness, God, you're eternal, you're everlasting, there comes a great exhale about your life and a falling back because now if God's from everlasting, now we're going to dig into his nature. What kind of person is from everlasting? He's loved us with an everlasting love. His mercy is an everlasting
mercy.
The
Lord God, merciful.
Merciful. His kindness, his dominion, his righteousness, his goodness, his gentleness, all that God is, has always been, and it will never cease. And so God loves you. No one gave God anything, and no one can take it away. Not even you on a bad week. It begins to free you into his love, and it sets you free. The God who knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows all things. Yes. But yet Psalm 139 says, he searches me. The God who knows you searches you.
There's not a word on my tongue, not a thought in my mind, yet he knows it altogether. He knows it before I speak it or think it. Which brings me to this thing that the writer of Hebrews said. He finished the works from the beginning of time. He finished the works from the beginning of time.
Yes.
Everything, he's already done all the works, all the necessities, everything that needs to be accomplished. He's finished the works. What we're stepping in right now is what Paul said in Ephesians,
yes.
good works prepared beforehand
yes.
that we should walk in them. And really, when you think about faith, because faith is
That's right.
really what you actualize internally about God, it really is stepping into the reality of who he was and who he is and who he is
yes.
in the future.
That's
it's
right.
really just keying in on the right knowledge of him. That's all faith is.
He goes, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is. And I like to say his nature, his ability, and his generosity.
Yes.
Because we don't have some tyrant
no.
who's from everlasting. You have, our God is the most kindest, the most tender, the most gentle, the most beautiful, the most righteous, the most just, the most loving, the most wise. God from everlasting, and he is deeply connected to us. That absolutely undoes me because this liberates me into worship.
Yes.
It liberates me into awe and worship. It makes me talk less. It makes me hold my opinions less, and it makes me believe him when he says he loves me because his love is powerful. It's from everlasting, and it's to everlasting.
He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. So going back to that Tozer thought, that quote, he says, the most important thing about you is what you think about God. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 that we cast down
yes.
arguments and lofty things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Which brings me to this point. Every attack of the enemy is geared against the knowledge of God.
Yes.
That's what Satan is doing. His
yes.
goal is to pervert the knowledge of God in the minds of people, in the minds of the unsaved, to blind their eyes
yes.
from seeing the glory of Jesus, and to pervert and twist the knowledge of God in the minds of believers.
That's right.
And so the first thing we hit on was how we see him small. He's diminished in our eyes. That's
yes.
that's the first attack the enemy tries to do, I think. He tries
yes.
to make him small in our eyes.
Absolutely.
And I love that old, there's an old worship song from, it's not Vineyard, it's the Hosanna. He says, I've made you too small
yes.
in my eyes.
Yes.
Oh Lord, forgive me. I have believed the lie that you were unable to help me. And there's something about when we begin to see him rightly, as we talked about, the grandeur of him, it causes a rest to come on us. But the second thing that you just hit, if the enemy can't get you to believe that he's unable, he'll get you to believe he's angry.
That's right.
He's mean. He's mean spirit.
That's right.
And when the Lord, and we need to get into when God unpacks his nature to Moses. We need to get into that.
Yeah.
But the very first thing he says about himself when he's unveiling the glory of his name, he says, the Lord God, merciful.
Merciful.
Gracious, abounding in goodness and truth. And here's the thing. If God was angry, mean, if he was malevolent, negative, you know, at his core, if that was the root system of who he is as the one who's from forever, we would be doomed from beginning.
There was one tinge of darkness.
There would be no pleasure in this life whatsoever. No. It would be torment.
Yes.
It would be pain.
Yes.
It would be the most excruciating existence from beginning to end. Because God is kind.
Yes.
He's merciful. Even the unjust, even the unrighteous get to drink of the graces of God in creation.
That's right.
They get to see beauty and wonder in the sky, in the sunset, in the mountain, in the ocean. They get to experience the pleasure of taste, of hearing, of sight, of feeling. All these things God's created. Just think about this. God has woven together all of existence for it to touch pleasure centers in us that we get to experience even when we're not saved. The heavens declare the glory of God. They're declaring the goodness of who he is, the knowledge of who he is. It's wonder that he is so merciful and kind. This one who's from everlasting is the kindest, gentlest, most tender, merciful one there is. And if the enemy can't get you to believe that he's small, he'll get you to believe that he's mean. And I want to root that out of you right now. He is not evil. He's not malevolent. He's not a dictator or a control freak. He is the kindest one there is. He's the most merciful one there is. And when you taste a little bit of his goodness, when you actually see his kindness just a little bit, it will transform the way you think about everything. One drop of revelation and the knowledge of him changes the way you see everything.
Everything. Just want to tease this back again. The 2 Corinthians 10 strongholds, arguments. I call them skyscrapers that have been built in our souls, our emotions, our minds, and they're skyscrapers built with half-truths and lies about God.
Yes.
Satan is a father of lies. He's a father of lies, and he accuses constantly, day and night. He's constantly lying to God about you, lying to you about God, and he creates this demonic web. We want to tear down arguments and strongholds.
Yes.
Specifically, and I want to just keep teasing this out. You said that he'll either attack that God's small or he's angry.
Yes.
I hit it that God, he's hitting either God's ability and God's generosity.
Yes, that's it. Same thing.
Either God has it, but doesn't want to give it, or he wants to give it, but doesn't have it.
Yes.
We need to root ourselves in two realities. We need to feed ourselves on two big realities about God. God is rich. He is an inexhaustible treasure house of all goodness and glory. He's an inexhaustible treasure house of all kindness and righteousness and justice. He is rich in love, rich in mercy, rich in power. He is a limitless, inexhaustible treasure house. Now, I know a lot of rich people, though, that are stingy.
Yeah.
Not only is God the richest person in his very own nature, this is the thing about God. He is the kindest and most extravagant giver you will ever meet.
Yeah.
He gave. He for so loved the world. He gave. He gives and he gives and he's a glad giver and he's generous and he rewards and he kisses and he blows our minds and he's doing it for 7 billion people across the earth. I love to people watch at the airport. And I'm thinking, God, you've got 7 billion storylines going on all at the same time.
And he knows everything.
Checks in the mail. Things that he's doing. Who is our God?
He numbers the hair on every head 7 billion deep.
Yes.
He knows every inner working of every soul, all the entanglements, all the knots, all the relational things. He knows all of it. And he is intimately acquainted in the sense of he wants to minister right into it.
I want you to know, friend, right now that our Father, and see, we get, he's Abba. He's our Father. He's rich. I want you to know you're not, I say it this way, you're not dealing with a middle class working dad with 7 billion children. You are dealing with an inexhaustible treasure house who is extravagant, who is so kind, who's so loving, who's so righteous and so just. And I believe the Lord wants to rip some arrows, break some strongholds.
Yes, right now.
I believe he wants to, there's a deliverance anointing on this one.
Yes.
Whew. Casting down arguments, breaking strongholds. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, this is eternal life, that they would know you. Here it is, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Father, release deliverance right now.
In the name of Jesus.
I take authority over every argument, stronghold, lie. Command you right now to expose and be broken in the name of Jesus. I pull out arrows of accusation against your nature, that you're malevolent, that you're evil, that you're twisted, that you're a father that brings us out and you never deliver. You write hot checks. You never deliver what you say. In the name of Jesus, I say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. We rip out the arrows. We break the strongholds. We cast down the lies. We rip out the arrows in the name of Jesus. We say, fill minds and hearts with the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes, yes. Just say this out of your mouth. Say, God, you are great.
God, you are great. You are great.
And I do not know you.
And I do not know you.
I've made you too small. Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Forgive me. I believed a lie that you were unable to help me. Forgive me, God. And I've thought you to be mean-spirited. I've thought you to be unkind. Forgive me. And say it out of your mouth. Say, you're the most merciful one.
You're the most merciful.
You're the kindest one. You're the most generous. You're the gentlest. Your gentleness has made me great. You are good.
You are good.
Say it. You are good.
You are good.
All you do is good.
You are good. You are good.
And all you do is good. Now, Lord, let that river of living waters, let it rush up from the inside and wash away every lie, every falsehood, every illusion, every delusion
about
who you are. Wash it away right now. And set us free to believe. Set us free to see. Eyes to see. Eyes to see. Ears to hear. Eyes to see. Open the eyes.
Open eyes.
And open the ears.
Open ears.
To hear and to see you as you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We love you, Lord.
Bless you guys.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Gripped. We hope this episode ministered to your heart. If so, feel free to subscribe and leave us a good rating. You can find previous episodes on Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon Podcasts. You can watch this episode and more on our YouTube channel, Gripped Podcast, and follow us on Instagram at The Gripped Podcast. To stay connected with Corey's ministry, you can find out more at www.coreyrussell.org. To stay connected with Billy's ministry, you can find out more at www.billyhumphrey.com. Bless you guys.